Good evening, everybody. This is the Coach the Coach Practicum 1 call, Class 2, for the October 2015 cohort of the Martha Beck Life Coach Training. And this is Deb Drozier, instructor. And I'm so excited to find out how you guys did with all your practice and coaching each other this last week using the access tools that we learned in the last class. So if anybody has any questions or would like to make a comment, I'd love to hear them.
Well, this is Tracy, and I had the opportunity for 3 coaching sessions. The first one was very difficult.
Was it?
And I encountered something that I was not expecting, and the woman started speaking immediately out of the gate. I felt Pandora's box opening up, and every demon and ex-husband and drug use and suicide watch, therapist, Prozac, you know, Xanax. And I felt this tidal wave coming over me, and I really had to get back in my body and just relax. And I tried to bring her back through. I tried to at least get the body compass going about how she was feeling, and that seemed to work a little bit, but it just felt overwhelming. And I on purpose kind of quickly ended the call, and I just felt like it was a disaster, and all I could do was kind of laugh about it, and really saw that you have to, that was an individual that had multiple issues and problems and was probably very far from working with a life coach. But the next 3 hours later, I was at a dinner party, and I had the opportunity to sit next to a lovely woman who was in a very different place, who was actually leaving to go on a mission to find herself of all of these fears she was experiencing, and they were holding her back. And I immediately, say more. And it all beautifully, we talked about it. I went to her body where she was feeling this anxiety. We actually identified something, and I was able to help her. I turned it around, and where would she be without those thoughts? And it was total freedom and empowerment. So,
wow, that, you did the work. Wow.
Well, to see that somebody, it was effective.
Mm-hmm.
And then the third piece was yesterday, and I was having a conversation with my boyfriend. I didn't say anything about what I was going to do. He knows that I'm doing this, but I didn't want to let on I was going to do any sort of exercises. And he is planning to move down here to Los Angeles from San Francisco, but he's in a square one transition with work. And that was kind of an issue for me about, like, well, what's he going to do? You know, I hope he has something put together. So very happily, he brought it up, and we started talking about it. And from nothing, from like a little speck on the horizon of what he wanted to do, I went to the body compass, and instead of taking him through everything, I took him back to a time in his career where what made him happy, what felt right, where was he the most, where did he express, you know, where was he most expressive and open and felt freedom? And then I took him, and how did that feel? And, you know, what part of the body was, what were his memories? And then I took him to his present situation, and what does that feel like? And it was, you know, how does that feel? And where the identifiers in the body and physically how he felt. And very beautifully, things started turning around, and from a speck on the horizon, you know, an object appeared, and it came getting closer and larger and larger. It was actually had color, and we could started identifying exactly what he thought, what he wanted to do. And so, okay, so that was lovely and that was great. But my whole thing is, I'd like to ask you a question because my follow-up is that, and I felt really strongly to give him some, like, little next steps for him to identify like three institutions that he could research, and, you know, in terms of this job he's kind of trying to piece together. Now, I know that that's not being the window completely.
Okay, so let's talk about this.
So that's just kind of it.
Okay, so let's talk about this. So Tracy, number one, you don't need balls of steel. You got them. I'm just saying, remember when you wrote that?
Yes. It's kind of scary when you're not talking to a cohort.
Okay, so you have them. So let's talk about a little bit about each one. So the first one, my guess is that they had never been heard before, or they're still so in square one and grieving and meltdown in many different areas of their life that they felt you needed to hear everything.
Right off the bat.
And you're going to have clients like that. And in the past, I will confess, I myself have been a client like that, where I feel like I have to get it all out. And as I went through processes of therapy when I was younger, and, you know, through the many times I've been coached, and when I hire coaches for myself, it's gotten so much better, unless I'm back in that pure meltdown, I don't know what to do, this is way harder, I don't know what the hell's going on, and that's okay. So my guess is that's the kind of client that you would have to be with for a couple of sessions before they felt a bond of trust with you and that they were in a safe place. And so you have two clients. You have two kinds of clients. You have the kind of client that clams up until they feel safe, and the kind of client that doesn't until they feel safe. Does that make any sense?
Yes, it does.
So I think that for your first experience, you probably did great. Where did you leave it with her? You said you...
I saw her yesterday. She was like a sticker and wanted to know when the next session could be. And I just wanted to run, but I know that I'm not going to.
So say we're gonna work with that a little bit about you wanted to run, but you know you're not going to. You might want to be the client on tonight's call, and that could be one of your to-dos. So we probably won't get to the bottom of it tonight, and you don't have to be the client if you don't want to volunteer. But what I heard is that you feel you have to do something you don't want to do. So the other thing I'm going to say is,
I do.
You guys get to pick your clients.
And
if she's in square one or grieving and all the different, honestly, half the things that you were telling me, suicide watch, I don't know with who. I think you said drugs or addiction, did you?
Yeah.
Okay, all these things. You might want to read the ethics document, because this is the kind of client we are not prepared to really work with until or unless they have a therapist.
She does, yes. She has one too.
So she has a therapist, and she also wants to work with a life coach.
Well, I mean, she's a friend of mine. And she's really would love to work with me. And I adore her. But yes, that's a yes.
Okay, so that will get me to your boyfriend and that piece of it, too. So I made it a policy never to coach friends. Mm-hmm. And you can make that policy too, and you can tell her that's your policy. Mm-hmm. When you're with friends, and so with your boyfriend, you said you didn't tell him what you were doing, and you
no,
you didn't let on, and that kind of
he
thing.
He just thought it was wonderful.
Yeah, I'm sure. I'm sure. And does he know you're in the training?
Oh, yes, yes, yes,
okay.
Yes. But I've been very clammed up about doing anything, you know, any practice
okay.
on him.
Okay. So when you are here is what I do. And I will always ask someone if I could use my coaching tools rather than just using them. I don't do it so much with my husband because he knows
mm-hmm.
exactly what I do, and we've kind of gradually
mm-hmm.
gotten into that where he knows what I'm coaching. Sometimes I ask, do you want me to coach you? And he now coaches me too, so it's kind of interesting.
Mm-hmm.
But so I would always be up front if you think you're going into coaching, even
okay.
with your boyfriend. And
okay.
I would say, I have some tools around this. Would you like me to try them? And you want to play with them and see if it's any help, right? And as I say that, know that in life, I know there's a very fine line between casual. These things become
mm-hmm.
second nature. They probably already are to many of you. You guys, many of you are already coaches. You know, you just don't have the label. Or you're in a career that you do this kind of thing, and people know that about you. It's like finding a therapist at a party, and then all of a sudden everybody goes up to the therapist with their problems, wanting them to be solved. So
mm-hmm.
there's going to be a mix, but what I do is always say, would you like me to coach you around that? If it's a friend, I rarely say those words, but I will ask my curious questions that I would have asked anyway.
So
it's not necessarily coaching. Is that making any sense?
Oh, absolutely, 100%. Thank you. Yes.
Okay. So with your boyfriend, it worked fantastically. And he probably knew what you were doing, right?
Mm-hmm.
And he probably got it. And was very grateful, it sounds like, and he
mm-hmm.
got some relief from that, which is fabulous.
Yes, yes, yes.
So, you know, in that kind of a close relationship, you
mm-hmm.
know where you can go and what you can do. But in general, I would have to say for me, there's nothing more annoying than having someone that I love dearly as a friend who's a coach to just start coaching me. Sometimes I say, I do not want to be coached, so
mm-hmm.
don't coach me, right? And
mm-hmm.
so I think it's always best policy to ask first.
Okay.
But with, like I said, very, very close relationships or, you know, anybody that you're practicing with during this training, it's
mm-hmm.
it's totally fine to go right into it because that's the purpose. And when you're really, really close, your boyfriend, your husband, your wife, they're going to know when you're starting to use the words
mm-hmm.
that are part of the coaching. And they can
mm-hmm.
and they can say, no, I don't want this now. Or they can say, oh, yeah, that would be helpful. Let's do that.
Mm-hmm.
I love the fact that you went right to the body compass
mm-hmm.
and that
mm-hmm.
you did it the way you did it, where you compared
mm-hmm.
for him the two different scenarios. That was brilliant for you.
Mm-hmm.
And it offered a lot of help to him. So that was just excellent. Good job with that.
Thanks.
So, Tracy, what was the middle one? It went really smoothly, you said. It just
It went very smoothly. And it was just sort of a, you know, it wasn't that they knew, the host knew that I'm studying, that I'm doing this training. But it just was a natural, organic conversation that happened.
Beautiful.
She was,
yeah.
And it was so easy, and she was so open to it. And afterwards, and she was low. You know, she knew. But anyways, it was a beautiful. It was just a natural. It was very natural.
So she knew before, or she didn't know before?
She knew before, but I don't think she. it was after she said, "Oh, this is so wonderful." And I said, "Well, I'm actually using these tools that
Beautiful.
I've been
okay.
given." And so that was how that sort of came up. And she was just, it was, you know, it was, she was very grateful. I'll put it that way. It was
so
a mutual gracious experience.
Beautiful. So Tracy, as I'm saying to you, you know, I always ask if someone wants to be coached or can I practice this tool if I see the opportunity is correct. More often than not, and you're already there, you're already there. Over time, this just becomes a part of who you are, and your natural curiosity as a friend or a dinner companion or somebody at a party is to ask these kinds of questions anyway using your tools. In that instance, don't worry about saying, do you want to be coached? And you'll know what the difference is. So I don't want you to feel like I was saying never do that and always.
Oh, no, no, and I understand. I understand,
okay.
Yeah.
But mm-hmm. you've given.
And I understand. And I understand, too, that it just happened so naturally that when I said, well, I actually
beautiful.
Have these tools, that if you, you know, if you would like, I'd like to continue, you know, doing this. And so,
yeah.
But so I'm just learning. I'm beginning to see. So thank
well,
you.
It's flowing together.
A very helpful pointer.
It's flowing together for you beautifully, it sounds like. And you're being very gracious, and you're being curious, and you're being your innate coach self, and it's going to flow for you very nicely. And you've seen two instances where it did, and one where you wanted to run, and you mm-hmm. can say, no, I don't think I want to coach any of my friends, if you want to make a blanket statement
mm-hmm.
like that.
Mm-hmm.
Or you can just say, you know, I don't know enough yet. I feel out of my league with some of the things you're bringing, and be totally transparent, authentic, and open. And just say, you know, I know you're working with a therapist. Maybe later when I'm more experienced, I would love to try this again. Or don't say that if you don't want to. But you can definitely set your boundaries. And that's
yeah,
you know,
that was very important. That was the message I'm getting, that setting my boundaries. That was very important.
Mm-hmm. Yes, because you get to make the choice. Not only do our clients pick us, but we get to pick them.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
So, okay. Very interesting. Thank you for bringing that. Anybody else want to share?
Yeah, this is Sarah. When I worked with the other three, well, actually the other two people in my group who are in a different section, so they're not in this group. I thought things went really well. It was hard.
Mm-hmm.
But I think that we felt safe and helped each other with our mistakes, and that it was a really good learning experience. However, I have a question for you. This morning, I teach Pilates, and my client came in, and I did my normal, how are you today? And she said, I'm very anxious. And I've just been listening to NPR, and they're going to attack Washington. My son lives in New York City. The terrorists are going to destroy the grid. I mean, she just started on and on. And, you know, I tried to get her settled down, and we started doing some Pilates work, but then she couldn't concentrate. And she would start talking about more. And I really felt like this is beyond what I can do.
Mm-hmm.
Right? She had no idea that I'm doing this coach training. She just, you know, just felt that, and this happens to me.
What?
Anyway.
Part sharing.
Yeah, people just, yeah. And I feel that with the way the situation is in the world right now, that we are going to run into more and more people that are becoming more and more anxious. And I don't feel that I have the tools to deal with it, but can you give me some guidelines on how, with the limited tools we have so far, how, if this were to come up again, what I could do. What I did do was I had her lie down, and I did what I call a constructive rest. I think that's it's basically a centering exercise. And, you know, going through the body and noticing the tension. And I tried to take her to a place of peace and asked her to try to hold on to that when she started feeling these anxious feelings. So,
Sarah, I was going to ask you, what would you have done if you were not in this training? And you just told me what you would have done, and you did it, and it was beautiful.
Yeah, but...
What more did you have to do? What more did you have
Well, I felt like she was still anxious when she left. Maybe not as bad, but...
So let me say this.
Mm-hmm.
With a smile on my face, we don't have to make it okay for everybody.
Mm-hmm.
And she was better when she left than when she came in. You were able to get her in her body.
Mm-hmm.
And it sounds like you wanted to be able to do more for her.
Yeah. But I would have done it in a coaching situation. I wouldn't have done it in the Pilates situation because that's not what she came for. But if I was...
Those two, right?
Eventually, but I didn't feel like I had enough tools to go, because I was afraid that I'd take her to something really deep that I couldn't handle.
I think what you did was beautiful. When someone's very, very anxious and they're having a hard time, the best thing you can do is get them back in their body. It's as simple as that. You don't need to use any other tool. As far as her being anxious about her son living in New York and all the stuff about destroying the grid, you know, those kind of deep-seated fears, there may be nothing that you can do about that at this point in time. When you guys get into the work, you're going to find out a lot more about how to go about that and removing those kinds of thoughts. But, yes, it would not be necessarily in the Pilates studio that you would do that. And there may be ways that you can start to learn some mind-body tools. And there's a mind-body class coming up where you can help people with anxiety. You can ask them if the thought is true. You know, some people are going to say, yeah, that's going to happen, and there's nothing I can do about it. And other people are going to worry about it. And some of it, no matter what tool you use, you're not going to be able to change that. So I think what you did was spot on. Getting her back in her body was really the best thing you could have done. And I would never have even said to you, well, you could have asked her why, you know, go into the five whys. You don't want to do a body compass with somebody like that. She just needed to voice it. She needed to get her body and probably with some guidance, because she probably wouldn't have been able to do it without your guidance. So it was perfect.
Okay.
But it feels, tell me where I'm wrong, it feels to me like you just really wanted to be able to do more. So why would you have wanted to be able to do more?
Because I like for people to be happy. I don't like for people to be anxious. I feel she had some reason to be happy. She was scaring me.
I was going to ask you. I had a hunch it might have been triggering some of your fears.
Yeah.
And that's understandable, right?
Mm-hmm. And I as things escalate, if they do, we're all going to be, fighting our lizards, our inner lizards.
And so for any of you on the call, for all of you on the call, if you do start getting anxious about anything in life, the best thing to do is bring yourself back to your body. That's the first thing. And then you are going to learn the tools where you can work with your own mind and work with your own thoughts and find out if those thoughts are true and you know, you do it as a meditative process. You can work with each other around these issues. But I want to stress, many of us want our clients to be happy. We want to make it better for them. But all we can do, this is where we are really just the window, right?
Mm-hmm.
They have to be able to do it for themselves. We mm-hmm. can't fix anyone. We can't have any attachment to the outcome, which I also totally understand for those of us who have ever worked for a company or a corporation or have clients that we do things for. Not being attached to the outcome for our clients is a hard thing because we get evaluated, we get raises, we get that kind of feedback all our lives, grades, school, all, you know, jobs all the time. To come into the coaching world and a coaching practice and have no attachment to the outcome client is a very difficult to get to.
Mm-hmm.
So be kind with yourself as you start to practice that, because the fact of the matter is all we can do is show them. All we can do is let them glimpse what can mm-hmm. be done, and then we have to let it go because it is up to them to do the work. We have to know when to refer them to a therapist. We have to know when to refer them to another coach. If it's somebody that's, you know, in mm-hmm. grieving, for example, or in a total meltdown, we have to know when to refer them to a different kind of coach or a therapist. And it doesn't say anything about you as a coach. One of the things mm-hmm. you guys will find out is, because it's happened to me several times, and I suspect it'll happen to you, you'll have a coaching session with someone, and you will think it was the crappiest coaching session. You'll think, oh, my God, they're going to fire me. Why did I even become a coach? That was not good at all. And you're going to get a call in 2 weeks or an email, and they're going to tell you it was the best thing that ever happened, that they got all this insight from what you talked about. And very often that can be what happens when a call doesn't end all nice and tidy and neatly tied with a pretty bow. And very often mm-hmm. it won't. And that's when they can step in and dig into their wisdom and their power and do the things that they learn they can do for themselves. And that's what we really want, right? But it's hard when you've been a culture to always having a goal.
Mm-hmm.
So just all of you be kind with yourselves as you do this. So was that, so Sarah, I kind of went on there, mm-hmm. but does that all make sense?
It does. It actually makes a lot of sense, especially the last thing that you said about it doesn't always have to end nice and tidy.
In fact, most often will not.
mm-hmm.
So, you know, a lot mm-hmm. of times we're working with our clients on long-term issues, and
mm-hmm.
yes, we want it to be quick, and we want to get them back on their feet and being able to do these things for themselves. But sometimes, you know, especially if you guys do any mind-body stuff, you know, it might be a very long-term relationship, and you're going to find, and it may be anyway, it may be somebody that just really likes working with you. Some sessions are going to be way better than others, and it just depends on what's going on in their life. And you know, life can throw us some really big curves sometimes. So,
uh-huh.
Yeah.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Okay, you guys, let me just briefly talk about the body compass, and I want to know, let me go to the forum. I don't think any of you asked any questions. Tell me where I'm wrong on the forum. Did anybody throw out any questions out there? you're being shy. Oh, Donna. Donna, oh, there she is. Okay. She was going to volunteer. She did volunteer for tonight's class. She wanted to coach, but she had to go on a trip. Okay.
No, I'm here. I'm available.
Hot diggity. So good. So, Donna, you still want to coach?
Sure.
All righty. Well, that sounded very sure. So, were you able to do the pre-work and listen to the demos for the Body Compass?
I did.
Okay. And you read over the information in the binder?
I did.
Perfect. Okay. So, I just want to go over a couple of things that aren't necessarily specified in the binder, but I just want to go over them to clarify them. So you're going to start with your client by just having them close their eyes and get into their body quickly. If you have a client that needs more time, and guys, as you are being the client tonight, go ahead and let your coach know that you're really not in your body and they can walk you through. And in that case, you know, you can kind of do like I did last week with our little meditation going from the feet up to the top of the head. And one you can do something a little more in depth like that, but it still doesn't have to be really long. So you can ask them to feel their feet, feel their butt sitting on the chair, their back being supported by the chair. You can ask them to feel their hands. You can ask them to notice the tip of their nose. And that's usually enough, you know, done slowly and in your normal voice to get them in their body. So then, as you're asking them to go into a memory, and I want to tell you, you know, we say don't go into the worst memory you ever had. And this morning, the coach didn't even say that because we had talked about it beforehand. Because sometimes I think asking them not to go to the worst memory, of course, brings that up right away. But, yes, go ask them not to go to the worst memory, but something that was unhappy or a painful event, just not the most, and have them get into this memory. And as you have them get into this memory, you can help them along by asking, you don't ask the question, sorry, just prompting them to notice who was there, notice the smells, notice the colors, notice the weather, your surroundings, and then let them take as long as they need to get into the memory. And you can ask them to let you know when they're there. And then you're going to ask them to identify the physical feelings in their body, the physical sensations in their body that they associate with that memory. And you're going to find out what the physical feelings are. You know, it could be a tight throat. It could be a burning stomach. And you're going to ask them to name the sensations, like tight throat, burning stomach, but they may also put another name to it. They may say, you know, we had a client this morning, I think it was the happiest time in her life, or she was so happy she cried. And tears actually started to come on the call. So they can describe that kind of, they can give it that kind of a label too. Just ask them to name the physical sensations and ask them if they'd like to label it for easy reference in the future. Then you are going to ask them for this negative memory to rate it from 0, which is neutral, to negative 10. And so they'll rate it along there somewhere. And you note that. And then I want you to go ahead and get them to stand up, to shake that bad memory out of their body, you know, just stomp if they need to, because we want them to get clear. Then you're going to start again, and you're going to ask them to remember a very happy time. And you're going to do the exact same thing. And here you're going to assign a rating or a score of 0 to +10. So have them name the sensations, have them give it a label if they want, and then the naming of the sensations is enough. You don't need any more. Then what we are going to do is have the client go ahead and name three things that they need to do this week. And then what you're going to do, and I'll be here to guide you if you get lost or stuck or anything, so no worries about that. And I may have somebody else pop in and do that part of the coaching, the to-dos. So we'll just see how this all goes. And this morning's ended up pretty long, and so we only had one body compass. So I changed coaches at the end for the to-dos to give somebody else a chance to coach. Just depends on how fast this goes. What you're going to do is have them list for you the three tasks. And just have them name them. Then you're going to go back to task number one and ask them to tell you a little bit about it. And then you're going to ask them to rate it from a negative 10 to a plus 10. So when you're asking them to score the to-dos, you want to go all the way from the most negative to the most positive, because we're not assuming it's either one. So if you hear somebody say they have to clean the bathroom, that's one of their tasks, that may be something that brings somebody pure joy, even though it may make you want to poke your eyes out. So that's why we don't assume that any of these tasks are negative or positive, and we give them the entire scale. And then you go to the next one and get a little bit about what the task entails, you know, let them tell you a bit about it, and then ask them to rate that one, and then ask them to rate the third one the same way. And that's what we're going to do. And then we'll talk about it at the end, and we'll discuss, you know, what you could do further and how some of what we're going to learn on next week's call can help your client to decide what tasks to do, whether they still need to do them, whether they can throw them away, whether they you know, can look at something that they don't want to do. But if they do it, the benefits of doing it far outweigh the rate on the scale. So does that all make sense?
Yes, it does.
Anybody have any questions before we start? Okay, who would like to be Donna's client?
I'll be Donna's client. Sorry, this is Ray.
Ray, you said you'll be Donna's client. I can't tell who the first voice was.
And I'm not sure if there was someone else, but of course that other person could have at it as well, but I'm more than happy to.
Okay. Who is the other person that spoke up? Just because we may have time for two. I hope we do.
It was Big Mouth Tracy, so
I'm
in the corner. So
oh my
no,
gosh,
no.
Tracy, we could just do the work on that. Okay, Tracy, can you be the second client tonight
I will, if we have time.
If we have time, which I hope. Okay, so Donna, Ray is your client. You guys just take it away.
Okay, hi Ray.
Okay, hi Tracy.
I'm Donna.
Donna, I'm sorry. Very least satisfaction, my memory. Go. No.
Okay, so for our coaching session tonight, I thought maybe we'd spend some time to get you connected to your body and see how well you know your body. How does that sound?
That sounds
wonderful. Oh, awesome. So, Donna, sorry. Guys, let me explain one thing I forgot to mention. So what we're doing tonight is we're really calibrating our clients, and we're finding out where they are in understanding their body compass. So we're not really getting them to know their body. What we're trying to do is calibrate their body's reactions to things that happen in their life. So once we do this once with a client, you typically won't have to do it again, but in future sessions, you know, if they come to you and they say, gosh, I have this really tough decision to make, you can take them into the, you know, quiet meditative prelude, and then you can ask them to think about that situation and rate it on their body compass so that they'll know what it's doing. So what you're really trying to do tonight, they do get to know their body, absolutely, but you're trying to help them understand their body compass and what that is and how that can direct their life. So when you're
coaching someone,
uh-huh,
and you decide that you're going to use this session to do that, I mean, that just
uh-huh
seems weird to me.
That seems weird to you?
Yeah. I mean, okay, if somebody wants to come and talk to you about a problem they're having, and you say, oh, no, tonight we're going to calibrate. How do you start?
Well, it would be best if they were coming to you about a decision they had to make. And then you
okay
say, let's calibrate your body compass. And this is something that I like to do with my clients early on just for fun so that they get the gist of that. And I've had clients flat out say, no, I don't want to do that. And so I have to respect that, and that's totally fine. But I'll ask them if they'd like to do that because it can very often help them as they navigate life, and it's a good tool to learn. And that's all, you know, so I always leave it out there for them to make that decision. And I had one client till the very end. She did not want to do the body compass, and I brought it up a couple of times, but of course never forcefully, just told her I thought it might be a good tool for her to be able to use, and she didn't want to. So that's absolutely my client's prerogative. So you can do this as part of your opening session if it feels right. Maybe it's not till 5 sessions in that you want to do something like this.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Try again?
Sure.
Okay, so Ray, I know that you have this decision that you need to make, but I thought it might be a neat idea for us to calibrate your body compass tonight, and so we can understand how you react to your body reacts to this decision. How does that sound?
I think that sounds like a great first step.
Okay. All right, so I want you to just wherever you are, just relax, close your eyes, and start to feel your body. Let's start with your left foot. Feel your left foot. If you can't feel anything, wiggle your toes. Feel what your foot is resting on. Is it a rug? Is it a hard floor?
Should I answer that? Or
no,
that
just feel it.
Okay.
No, just feel it. Just focus on it and feel it.
Okay.
And then feel your knees. And then move on up and feel your butt. If you can't feel anything, clench it. Is it sitting on something hard, something soft? Then go to your abdomen. Your abdomen is where all your organs are. What are you feeling? Then move up to your neck and your shoulders. And then go down your arms to your fingers and wiggle your fingers. Feel the temperature in your hands. Is it warm? Is it cool? Then go up to your head, to your forehead, into the space in between your eyes. Is it relaxed? Is it tense? And then to your jaw. Are you holding your jaw tight? Or is your jaw relaxed? Now I would like you to think about a memory, a time when you were sad or you were in pain, and nothing too bad. I don't want to take you to any place to too bad of a memory, but think of something that was difficult. And think about where you were,
think about who was there. Think about your outside, or inside, wherever you were. Think about the room that you were in. And where are you feeling that in your body?
I feel it in my core, in my abdomen and stomach.
What does it feel like?
It feels like a heaviness and also a churning, like knots in my stomach.
Do you feel it anywhere else?
Yeah, also my shoulders. And the area where your shoulders and neck connects, it feels really tight, intense, and heavy.
Do you feel it anywhere else?
No. Uh-uh.
Okay. Well, let's get rid of that feeling now. Let's shake it off. Come back to the present.
Hey, Donna.
Yes.
Let me just interrupt. Beautiful opening and guidance through her body. Beautiful job. And you just had, you did a great job just asking her to get into the memory. That was awesome. The heaviness, the knots in her stomach, you had her describing everything. But before you have her shake it off, ask her to rate that on the scale.
Oh. Yeah, I forgot that. Okay.
That's okay. That's why I'm here. So not to worry.
Yeah.
Just ask her to rate that on the scale before she shakes that off.
Okay. Ray, when you feel that heaviness in your core and you feel it in your neck, can you rate that feeling on a scale of 0 being neutral to a minus 10?
Yeah, I would say it's a negative 8.
Okay. Okay, now I'd like you to shake that feeling off, come back to the present, get rid of all those feelings, and now focus on something that is a good memory, a happy memory, a really good time in your life.
Okay.
And think about the people that you were with, what you were doing, feel the laughter, if there was laughter, where were you? And tell me where you feel that in your body.
I actually feel it in the same spot in my core, only it feels light, it feels open. Yeah, there's just a lightness and an openness in my core.
Okay, do you feel it anywhere else?
Just overall, I physically feel lighter everywhere, I would say.
Okay. Okay, now do the same thing. Tell me on a scale of 0 being neutral to a plus 10, how would you rate that feeling?
I'd rate it a positive 10.
Wow, that's awesome.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, now Ray, I want you to do another thing for me. I want you to think about 3 things that you have to do this week.
Beautiful transition. Beautiful transition.
Mm-hmm. 3 things I have to do this week. Okay.
You want me to keep going?
Oh, yeah. Ask her what they are.
Oh, okay.
Perfect.
Yeah, good. Okay.
Yeah.
So Ray, tell me... tell me about 3 things that you need to do this week. Tell me what the first one.
Okay, so the first thing is I have to decide whether or not to submit an application for a program, a grad school program that I'm considering but not sure about. The second thing is I have to go to work. And the third thing is a particular meeting that I have to run on Thursday.
Okay, so for the first one, the application, Close your eyes and just feel that in your body that you have to fill out that application. And tell me how you would rate that on a scale of negative 10 to a positive 10.
Oh, what's interesting is what I would expect my answer to be is different from what I'm actually feeling, and it feels a lot more negative than I did. I would say it's like a negative 7.
Wow.
Yeah.
But you feel that you have to do it.
Well, now that you're questioning that, I do not have to do it, no.
Okay. And when you get rid of that feeling of having to do it,
mm-hmm.
How does your body feel now? How would you rate your body now?
Getting rid of the idea that I have to do it, I would say, and while still thinking about doing it or thinking about getting rid of doing it altogether.
Yeah, how would you feel if you said, you know, I don't have to do that? Just simply, I don't have to do it.
I would say it's like a -4 because I still wonder, is that the right decision? But it takes the pressure off for sure.
Right. How do you feel if you change that from I have to do it to I may choose to do it?
Yeah, that definitely helps it too. Yeah, that helps take the pressure off.
Okay. So you may choose to send the application this week and you may choose not to. Does that feel better than I have to?
In some sense, yes, but in the other sense, no, in the sense that I'm afraid that that not being diligent about it, that I could miss a window of opportunity that I have. So it's very conflicting.
Okay, so now I'm stuck. Should I keep going on that?
No. So what you want to do is you want to go to number 2. Hold on for a second. We're just really getting to their to-dos and asking them to rate them tonight. Then what we'll do is we'll talk about the different paths. You were doing a great job there, so I just let you go because what I thought you were doing was actually questioning her thought about whether or not she had to do this. So I just let you go for it. And what I would normally suggest if you're working on this with a client, you can do it one at a time, or you can go through all 3 and have them rate them, and then go back, you know, to whichever one seems to have the biggest hit for you, an intuitive hit, your marmoset, and work that first. So whichever way you want to do it, this is where your individual method comes in or your own intuition comes in. But for right now, just go ahead and go on to number 2 and number 3. I think, and tell me where I'm wrong, Ray, but I think she already provided some relief for you. And she also, I have a hunch that she had you thinking about it in a way you hadn't yet.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And it immediately was like a release on a pressure valve that I had created. Even the way she reframed it for me, that was outstanding.
So that was great, Donna. And that is exactly what you would do with a client when you're one-on-one with them. So, okay, so now just go on to number 2 and number 3 and have her rate those.
Okay, so Ray, let's move on to the next one. You said you have to go to work this week. Can you rate that on a scale of +10 to -10?
Mm-hmm. That would be a +5. No,
well, that's awesome.
4.5.
Okay, and then
let me just cut in here again. Sorry about that, Donna. Thank you. But I want to point out, you know, you can go ahead and ask her to tell you a little bit about what going to work means. You know, why is that on the to-do list? And you didn't even ask her, and that's fine also. And she rated it a plus 5 or a plus 4.5. I can't, I think that's what I heard. So right away we know, huh, so this is something she likes to do. And usually when you hear somebody talking about having to go to work, it's like my inclination is to think that might be a negative thing. So you learned a lot without even asking her anything about it. But you can ask her to say more. This is where you might bring in that tool too, the say more tool.
Right.
Okay, so I just wanted to throw that in there. Thank you.
Okay. So, Ray, let's go to your last one. You have a meeting that you need to have this week. How would you rate that one on a scale of plus 10 to minus 10?
That one is a negative 5.
Say more about why it's a negative 5.
It's me facilitating a meeting where I'm required to be, I don't want to say an authority figure on something, but where I'm the one who's supposed to know the most about this particular thing in a room full of people who I consider far more knowledgeable and talented than I am, so it makes me incredibly uncomfortable.
So say more about why you feel they know more than you do.
I think because they do. They're more experienced. I just think just the fact that they have more experience in the field, that's gold to me. And, therefore I think, I question how much I really have to teach them
But who asked you to do this if you were possibly not qualified?
My administrator did, my boss did, but I think I'm qualified, but I find it hard to believe that I am the best person for the job.
So, Donna, this is perfect.
Yes.
You're going in exactly the right direction, but we're going to stop it there for this body compass session. What you do now is you could continue to really talk to her. This isn't necessarily that she's taking an action against her essential self, right? But this is a limiting belief that she has about herself not being the most qualified. It would be interesting if you guys want to practice more of this outside of class this week and get into that and just play with that a little bit and see where it goes. But you did a great job for this body compass demonstration. Both of you were very effective, and Ray, you were very open, and you had great descriptions. And I just want to let everybody know not all your clients will have those great descriptions, right? So good job. I would like to know, Ray, if you have any feedback for Donna.
So, Donna, I would say that first, even in, we're all new at this, and for even just being your client for a few minutes, I thought your marmoset responses were right on the mark on everything you picked up on and kind of the areas that I would want to pay the most attention to and want someone to help me work on. I'd say you have really great instincts.
Great.
Thank you, Ray. You were a very good client.
You were a good coach.
So, it was a great demo. And so the thing, you're going to have, you guys are very, well, Donna, you were great. It's obvious that you understand being in touch with your body. And Ray, it was very easy for you to get in touch with your body. It was easy for you to describe those things. And just know that some of your clients are not going to be able to, so you may have to encourage them or help them along a little bit. And it may take a couple of times doing this with a client before you actually get to do this kind of a calibration. You might have to play with it. You might have to work with them. You might have to get them back into their body, kind of the climbing back into your body thing that that Jessica did on the recording. And you may even have to take a longer time. I have a suspicion that, Donna, you didn't even have to really work that hard with Ray to get her in her body in the first place. But you did a great job leading her through that so that she was in her body. The only feedback that I have that I think you could do differently next time would be when you have her shake it out, just encourage her to get up, shake it out, stand up, shake her hands, and give her a little time to do that. And then just, and this is for all of you, then ask your client if they're ready to go on to the positive memory. Because we want to make sure that the negative memory is really out of their body. So, great job, you two. I hope everybody enjoyed that. Does anybody have any questions? Anything they heard or the way it went or any confusion?
Donna was so smooth. I thought she did an excellent job. She was right on target. I loved how she walked her through. She was smooth. Donna, you were smooth. It was,
and who's
really,
that speaking?
It's Tracy.
Tracy, yeah, she was.
Well, Donna coached me over the weekend or this last week, and she did a superlative job. She and Rhonda.
Awesome. So it sounds like you guys are having fun with that already.
Yeah.
All right. Terrific. If no one has any questions, we can go on to another one, and let's do a second body compass. Who would like to be the coach? Tracy, you're going to be the client. Is that right?
That would be all right, yes, unless somebody else wanted to be the client.
That's fine. You did volunteer, and you haven't been a client yet. Who would like to be the coach? I'm right here to support you the whole way, so even if it feels scary or you feel nervous, it'd be great if you volunteered.
This is Ray. I would volunteer, but since I just went, so if there's someone else, if no one else wants to do it, I would do it even though I'm quite terrified.
Well, Ray, since you spoke up, it's okay for you to be the client and the coach in this session. And Tracy, you're going to be the client, and Ray is going to be your coach.
All right.
All right, you guys. You know what to do.
Can I ask a question really quickly, Deb?
Yes, sure.
So do I have to start with the body compass? I do because that's what we're practicing.
Because that's what we're practicing. In a real session with a client, you may not. And as I said, you may not even visit it for the second or until the second or third. There are some coaches, they absolutely do this right away just as a tool that they like to teach their clients. And usually clients are pretty happy to learn it unless you have a client like Tracy. Oh, unless you have a client like Tracy where there's just a flood coming out, right? They probably don't want to do their body compass. But for tonight's purposes, yes, let's just stick to the body compass. Just assume.
And also, I'm really out of my body. I'm out of my body, Ray, so I need it.
Tracy,
you're out. Oh, God.
Yes. Ray, you're out of your body.
I need it.
That's even worse.
Who's out of their body?
Me, it's Tracy. I'm out of my body. I need the grounding.
Oh, good. So Ray is going to be perfect for this. Okay.
Oh, well, I beg to differ, but let's go for it. Okay, so hi, Tracy.
Hi.
And you said you're feeling pretty out of your body tonight.
Yes.
Okay, well, let's see what we can do about that. First, put your feet flat on the floor. And I want you to feel the sensation of your right foot.
So, Ray, I'm interrupting already, and I'm sorry. So
please
what
do.
I would, what I, for the purposes of this class, I just tell her that you're going to get her, you know, in her body for sure, and help her understand her body compass. At least let her know that you're going to be teaching her the body compass tool.
Okay.
Okay, good. Thanks.
Okay, so Tracy, since you expressed that you're feeling pretty out of your body, let's try something called the body compass.
Great.
Okay. So please put your feet flat on the floor and feel whatever the sensation is underneath your right foot, whether it's a warm carpet or a cold, hard floor. And then draw your attention to your left foot and whatever is underneath your left foot. Then move your attention up through your shin, up to your knees, which maybe they're bent, maybe they're straight. And keep your attention moving up to your butt. And maybe you're sitting in a soft chair or laying down. Maybe there's a lot of pressure, maybe there's none. And move your attention up to your core, to your abdomen. And feel what your how your abdomen is feeling right now. Is it tense? Is it loose? Is it tight? And then move your attention and your body up to your shoulders. And feel maybe what your shoulders are feeling. Are they feeling heavy or light or tense? And then move your attention up through your neck and travel it up to the top of your head. And breathe deeply. Okay, so first I'm going to ask you to recall an unhappy moment in your life. Not the most painful event you've ever experienced, but one where you were pretty unhappy or in pain even. Okay, so
Let me just interject here too. And the reason I'm doing this is because Tracy said that she was having a hard time. You did a beautiful job of slowly taking her through her body and asking her to notice the sensations. That was fine. And it was slow, methodical, and it was good. I would maybe take a moment after you're done just to see how she's feeling and if she feels more in her body. And just ask her that before you go on to the negative memory.
Okay. So, Tracy, after those couple seconds we just took paying closer attention to your body, how are you feeling?
Super relaxed. It was a great job. I feel much better.
Great. Thanks. I honestly just followed what Donna did. okay, so I'm going to ask you to think about a time in your life where you were pretty unhappy, not the worst time in your life, but a time where you were pretty unhappy or a really painful event. And I'm going to ask you to go back to that place, to that moment, and look at the room or the situation around you. you know, where are you and what do the walls look like, or if there are walls? What does the ground look like, the ceiling? What's the lighting like? Are there people there with you? And think about what was happening then. And I'm going to ask you to notice how you feel physically in this moment. What, go to a place in your body. Where are you feeling it most in your body?
In my heart and chest.
In your heart and chest. Okay. Tell me more about what that feels. I'm sorry. Say more about what that feels like.
Restriction. I feel like a mummy. Like material, like restriction. Like I can't move. Restriction.
So physically,
prison,
you feel restricted.
Imprisoned. I'm imprisoned. Physically restrained.
So it's like a pressure.
Yeah.
Okay. And think it back in this moment. You're feeling restricted. You're feeling pressure. You're feeling physically tied down, physically held down. If you had to rank this physical sensation on a scale of 0 to negative 10, how would you rank it?
It's probably about a negative 9.
A negative 9.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So now what I'd like you to do is, if you could physically get up from wherever you have been, in a chair, on a couch, you could stand up and physically shake your body and shake that out. Shake that off.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Did you shake it?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
It's pretty
good. So next, great, good. Next, I'm going to ask you to think of a moment where you were really happy. And this might be harder to come by than an unhappy moment, but maybe not. So think an event. If you can't think of a really happy moment, think of one that was at least not as bad as the last one.
Okay, I'm gonna interrupt here. So what I heard, and tell me where I'm wrong, Ray. I heard you tell her that it might be difficult to find a happy event, and I'm wondering why you said that. I'm just curious.
Because I remember reading that, and I remember when I read it, I remember being surprised. In the book where it said it's not uncommon for people to not be able to.
Got it. Okay, now I know where that came from.
Yeah.
That was really curious. And it's absolutely true. There are people that can't remember a happy event. There really are.
Yeah, but would you suggest not, letting them offer that they're having trouble thinking of one before?
Yes.
Can I interject? Because I was like up on top of the Eiffel Tower. I mean, ecstatic. And then I heard that, and I was like, "Ooh."
Okay, no, good to know. So I know not to say that. Okay.
No, it's great, and I love that you did it because we take guys, it's also good feedback from me about what we put in the binder too. Okay, so.
Mm-hmm.
So I get that, and I think it's fine what that ends up being without your intention, right, is it's
mm-hmm.
kind of a judgmental leading statement, right, that it may be hard for someone to have a happy thought. And while that's very true, we don't want to put that in their head right away. And then heard you say And we don't want to give them the opportunity to come up with another negative thought. So you said at least something a little better than
well,
the negative
I remember,
thought, right?
Well, Yeah, and I remember reading that too, that sometimes that's
okay.
like the best a client. So I guess
so
I totally jumped the gun on that one.
And I get that, but what we should probably do, and this is wonderful. I love that you did this because I haven't had this come up before, and it's a great teaching moment for everyone and me. So what we want to do is keep that kind of a thing a clean slate. If our client can only come up with a negative two, we might want to try again and say, okay, think of a happier thought or a better time or some time where you were feeling really calm and content. You know, we might want to reword that because we really want to try to get them to the positive side of the scale. And if we can't, then we can't. So I am so glad you did that. Thank you. And it was great. It was great. And now you know.
The grim reaper of life coaching.
Okay. No.
And, yeah, it was perfect. And I'm glad you're having a sense of humor about it. So just go ahead and continue with Tracy. And let's find out what she was doing on top of the Eiffel Tower. Yeah, we'll see. So thank you.
Okay. So, Tracy, now what I'd like you to do is think about a far happier time in your life. It can be one single second or a phase or maybe a particular trip. And I want you to recall that event and feel it physically in your body. Where do you feel this in your body?
Well, I almost don't feel my body. It's this levity. It's this beautiful flight. It's a sweet flight. It's no weight. It's a weightlessness of a real, it's the essence of sweetness. I don't want to put it in light, a beautiful lightness, and probably, you know, a warmth in the head and the heart, and a warmth in the heart.
And if you had to rank this on a scale of 0 to positive 10, what would you rank this?
Okay.
Yes.
So, Ray, yes, I'm sorry. You are totally right. My mistake. Perfect. Go ahead.
Are you sure?
Yes, I'm positive. I had a glitch. Go ahead. You're right on.
Okay. Now, should you ask the client to shake out this positive feeling?
No.
Okay.
But have her rate it. I interrupted you, and you were doing beautifully,
yes.
And that was my mistake.
Okay. So, Tracy, if you could rate this beautiful lightness that you're feeling in your heart and in your head on a scale of 0 to positive 10, what would you rate this feeling?
A plus 10.
A plus 10. Oh, that sounds beautiful.
All
okay,
right.
So Tracy. Oh.
Beautiful. And yes, so now we have about 7 minutes. And so when you ask her for the to-dos, just make them quick. Mm-hmm. Ask her for the 3, then go back and ask her to rank them, and then we'll have a little bit of discussion.
Okay. So, Tracy, I want you to think about 3 things professionally or with your family or just in life that you have to do this week. 3 things you plan on doing this week, I should say. 3 things you plan on doing this week.
Okay.
Okay. Do you have all 3?
Yes.
And what are they?
The first one is going to the dentist for teeth whitening. The second is having lunch with an estranged friend that I haven't seen in a year, and we have a lot to cover, and that's happening. And then the third thing is going to work.
Okay. So the first thing you plan on doing this week, going to the dentist, if you could rate that on a scale of 0 to positive 10 or 0 to negative 10, what would you rate going to the dentist?
A plus 10.
A plus 10. Okay. And if we didn't have 7 minutes, I would say more. That's fascinating. The second thing you plan on doing this week is having lunch with an estranged friend. And how would you rate that activity?
Well, you know, it's beautiful. It's going to be a plus 10 because, see, I'm turning everything around. Everything in my life through this practice, it's turning around very quickly. So, I mean, who knows what's going to happen, but I'm welcoming it beautifully. I'm looking forward to it. Plus 10.
Okay. Plus 10. Okay. And then the third event was going to work.
Yeah.
And if you had to rank going to work.
A plus 8.
Wow. Okay, and Deb, I forgot what you said. What you said I should do after this?
No, that's beautiful. But what we would normally do, and I'm going to tell you what I would do if Tracy was my client.
Mm-hmm.
I would, after hearing a plus 10 for going to the dentist, and then a plus 10 for having lunch with a estranged friend, I might just back up and say, that's really interesting, Tracy. So, when we did the body compass and you had the plus 10 on your body of the levity and the sweet flight, the weightlessness, is going to the dentist just like that?
Oh, you know, it's kind of fun for me because it's definitely shackles off. It's kind of, okay, maybe I'm not giving it the, it's plus 7, I guess. I tend to exaggerate.
Well, and maybe you're a plus 10 person, and that's totally fine, you know. But I might do that. I might do with Tracy, just to double check.
Just for me to do that. That's a good, thank you. Yes.
No, and so then I would do the same thing with having lunch with the estranged friend. You know, is that what you want? Is your brain telling you that's what you want to happen?
It wasn't a week ago, but it is today.
Okay, so, you know, and it may very well be that the anticipation of seeing your estranged friend is absolutely a plus 10. But I might just double check that with you.
Mm-hmm.
That's all I'm saying. Other than that, it was beautiful. And going to work was a plus 8. And so, you know, Ray, your job is done because it's all good for her. So beautiful, beautiful job, guys. And thank you for letting me interrupt and give you some of that feedback. Tracy, do you have any feedback for Ray?
Ray, I just want to say thank you. You have a lovely way of your voice. It just sort of, it was like you were taking my hand and walking me through things. I mean, apart from that one little hiccup about happiness.
Yeah.
It doesn't be happy. Actually, it can be kind of bad, you know. But
yeah,
the fault was you. You have a really, I love your voice.
Oh,
it relaxed me, and it took me where I needed to go. So thank you.
That was great.
Oh. Well,
okay.
Thanks for being so open and sweet.
So that's the demo of the body compass. I want to say something to you guys. I want to just point out something that happened while they were doing it. And I started to correct Ray and realized, oh, no, you did it just perfect. I want to tell you, just being totally transparent, authentic, and open, I had already jumped in my brain. I left being present with you two guys and had jumped to my brain to the to-dos because I had looked at the clock. And I was running in my head, I mean, not on purpose, but immediately, you know, everything you have to do for the to-dos. And I knew you had to go from negative 10 to plus 10. So I was about to correct you on the body compass that you were asking her from a 0 to a plus 10. because I was not present. So I just want you to know this can happen with your clients where all of a sudden you realize you've missed a word they said or your mind wandered. It's totally okay to be super transparent with them and say, can you back up? I just missed what you said. What that'll do, and maybe my confession right now isn't doing this with you guys, but what that will do with your client is it's going to build more trust because they're going to know that you are present, so present, you know when you're not present. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
And then you're letting them know that. So that's just one thing I'd like to say. The other, I'd like to open it up if anybody has any questions about the body compass. And then I want to go back and answer a question that Bridget asked online that I missed last week, Bridget. And I'm so sorry I missed that, or I would have answered it before then, before tonight. So does anybody have any questions about the body compass so far, what they heard? Any confusion? Everything's good? So this week you're going to go off and you're going to practice it with each other. And so what your homework is actually prep work for the next class, is to practice this with each other. So you're going to coach 1 to 2 people using the body compass and the to-dos, and you're going to get coached at least once. And you might want to do it more than once. And you guys get the opportunity here, practicing with each other, to really calibrate your body compass. And it can be a lot of fun. And it will be wonderful for you going forth in the training. If there's anybody on the call or in the class that feels they have no idea what they feel in their body, let's talk about that on the thread. Because there could be, this may never have come up in your life. You don't know what it means to follow your gut. You just don't understand that concept, and that's okay. That is perfectly normal. And it will be fun for you to get in touch with your body. But we can talk about that on the thread, too. So next week, any questions you have, any of that, just post on the forum and we'll go over them, and then watch the videos. And Going Deeper with Martha is the square one video. The 5 Whys with Martha, there's a great video, the 5 Whys demo with Martha and Abigail. And you're going to see how Martha does this in a real session. And also watch the video about limiting beliefs with Martha. And then listen to the coaching demo for the 5 Whys and review all that information in this tab in your binder. Okay? So, Bridget, I want to answer your question. Are you still on?
I am, yes.
All right. And you may know the answer by now. I don't know if you do. And I accidentally, for some reason, it just threw me off the call, and I'm hoping it didn't knock you all off. Oh, good, no. Okay, so here's your question. I've gotten some volunteers to be my clients. I will begin my practicing with one of them tomorrow. I'm planning on using what we covered this week. My question is due to me being very nervous of getting stuck. Yeah, we all get nervous about that in the beginning. If we end up in a place where we have not resolved to either of our satisfaction, what would be my stopping point to continue to transition into another session? It's a great question, and it really comes up in the beginning of as you guys are learning just the access tools, and you don't really have any of the practicum tools, say that fast, of the work and really delving into limiting beliefs, and then all the Square 3 tools in Practicum 3. So you can, and even once you have all those tools in your tool belt, you can still sometimes feel stuck. It's okay. Not every session is going to end up neatly tied with a bow, like I said earlier. And the goal is not to fix our client or to take care of them or to fix their problem, but to help them get to the point of freedom from the painful thoughts. That can take absolutely more than one session. It can take more than three. So if you are at the end, you know, you might want to start winding down about 10 minutes before the session's over and just letting them know that you have about 10 minutes left. Or, you know, you can say something like, okay, in the 10 minutes we have remaining, you know, is this what you would like to continue to focus on? Is there anything else coming up? Actually, if you're in the middle of something, you know that you want to continue to focus on that. You can talk about possible homework for your client. But if your client is very emotional or you can tell that they're very upset, you know, you might want to just check in with them and say, you know, we're getting to the end of our session and I want to check in with you and make sure you're okay because we won't be able to talk about this until next time. You guys, you know, and get them, if they need to get back in their body, you can help them do that, right? You can ask them if they'd like you to guide them into, you know, breathing slowly and just feeling more relaxed, and you guys know how to do that. You can also stay on an extra 10 minutes if you feel like you need to. I always give an extra 10 to 15 minutes leeway between sessions so that I'm able to do that with my clients if I need to. You can also offer them email support between sessions. So that's another way to extend your support and holding the space, even virtually, right, for them to continue to process what they're processing. Does that help?
Yes, it does, and it went better than what I thought, but I thought I was just nervous because I know when we were practicing, I would get, you know, stuck or I didn't know a good ending position. Yeah, that helped a lot. Thank you.
Okay, great. All right, guys, I'm going to send you off to the rest of your evenings and thank you so much for being here and your participation. And I will see you next week. And we are going to learn about the five whys and why they all don't have to begin with why. So have fun learning about that. Have fun practicing this week. And post everything on the forum. And I promise I will answer way faster than I answered your question, Bridget. So... have a great week practicing. Thanks, guys.
Thanks,
Deb.
Thanks.
Bye.
Bye-bye.